question I was asked recently touches upon a very fascinating issue in halacha, one which perhaps we've heard of, but maybe not familiar with the details of, and that is the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom was born around the year 960 in either France or Germany. The Maharshal writes in his Tshuvos Simen Chav Tes, when he was asked about the Shalsheles HaMesorah, so the Maharshal writes that Rav Shrira Gaon gave over the Mesorah to Rav Hai Gaon, his son. Maharshal writes that Rav Hai Gaon was declared to be a Gaon at the age of 20. He was elevated to Gaonus, he writes, at the age of 20. It was a form of smicha, it sounds like, that he received. Then from Rav Hai Gaon, Maharshal says, there were two streams of the Shalsheles HaMesorah. He says, on the one hand, Rabbeinu Chananel received the Mesorah from Rav Hai Gaon. Then from Rabbeinu Chananel came the Rif and the Aruch. And on the other hand, says the Maharshal, Rav Hai Gaon also transmitted the Mesorah to Rabbeinu Gershom. Now, it is possible Rabbeinu Gershom was alive at the same time as Rav Hai Gaon, but as Rabbi Shapansky writes in his Hatakanot B'Yisrael, Rabbeinu Gershom was born in France or Germany. Rav Hai Gaon lived in Bavel. We're not aware of any actual meeting between the two. So it could be the Maharshal means that the next link in terms of the Bali Mesorah from Rav Hai Gaon, aside from Rabbeinu Chananel, was Rabbeinu Gershom. And from Rabbeinu Gershom came Rashi, was the next link in the Mesorah of the Torah of Golas Ashkenaz. Rashi himself writes in a Tshuva that all of the Bnei Ashkenaz HaGolos are Talmidim of Talmidim of Rabbeinu Gershom. So again, Rashi might not have been a direct Talmud, but Talmud of Talmidim of Rabbeinu Gershom. And he is, of course, known as Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola because of his indelible impact on the Mesorah of Torah for Bnei Ashkenaz. Since Rabbeinu Gershom was ultimately the Rosh Hashiva in Mainz, Germany, which is where Rashi as well lived for a period and learned. And therefore, he was one of the Balei Mesorah. Of interest, Rabbi Shapansky writes that Rabbeinu Gershom's son was actually tortured by the Christians in the year 1012 and agreed to be baptized as a Christian because of the torture that he was subjected to, as well as Rabbeinu Gershom's wife, who was also among those who was baptized at that time. Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva, Rishonim writes, 2 weeks of Shiva for his son who was baptized, apparently because he was mourning that his son did not withstand the terrible nisayon of the torture and accepted baptism under torture. And he sat Shiva 14 days, it says, either both weeks because of that baptism that his son underwent, or one for his baptism and one because he died before being chozer b'tshuva. Just as a historical footnote about Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom is well known for numerous takanos, some given the force of a cherem, which we discussed in Daf Yomi not too long ago, the din of a nidui, of a cherem, and how severe that is viewed in halacha. Rabbi Shapansky writes that one of the earliest, perhaps, makoros of Takanos of Rabbeinu Gershom is the Machzor Vitri, which we have in written manuscript form back in 1208. But he concedes that there is a confusion amongst the historians, even amongst some of the poskim, what exactly did Rabbeinu Gershom himself issue as a Takana, what was instituted as a Takana that was maybe more broadly issued by the Chachamim of his time, and he perhaps agreed to it or was signed on to it. Be that as it may, the three most famous that I think Rabbi Shapansky writes are the ones that pretty much everyone agrees were, in fact, Rabbeinu Gershom's Charamim and Takanos, or among those that are agreed to be those that are really, in truth, attributed to Rabbeinu Gershom, are We're familiar perhaps most famously with the one of not to marry more than one wife. I'm reminded, although it doesn't really seem to be much of any sign for us nowadays, but I recall reading the interview form that my great-grandfather, Aaron Davidson, was asked to fill out when he immigrated to Ellis Island in 1908. So as you can find them on Ellis Island website. They have the actual PDF of the original immigration interview that the immigration officer fills out after interviewing each and every prospective immigrant. So my great-grandfather, immigrated in 1908, was asked, "Do you have $10 to your name?" Answer was no. Next question, "Are you a polygamist?" Answer was no. Okay, that was part of the screening process to come into the States back in 1908. But Benno Gershom was the one who forbade taking more than one wife for Bnei Ashkenaz. That's one cheirim that we're aware of. Another one is not to divorce one's wife by force. That is a discussion unto itself. That again, al pi din Torah, one is allowed to divorce even bal karcha against one's wife's will. Then a gershom forbade that. And then a third cheirem, quoted here amongst others by Rabbi Shapatsky in his Sefer Takanos B'Yisrael, is not to embarrass balei tshuva. He gave that the force of cheirem. Now that, Rabbi Shapatsky notes, that's a Mishnah, Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Ches. The Mishnah says, "Imhaya bal tshuva lo yomar lo zechor ma'asecha rishonim." The Mishnah says you can't harass someone by mocking him. "Oh, you're bal tshuva. Remember the days before your chozer b'tshuva, what you used to do?" That the Mishnah says is an isser to do. Onas devarim. You can't harass someone verbally. And Rabbi Gershom, it seems, gave up the force of a cheirem. Apparently, he saw that people relax in his time with that. It seems. It was especially relevant for those who were forced to be baptized and then were chozer b'tshuva subsequently. That was unfortunately a common issue in many Jewish communities in Europe at that time. So it seems like Rabbeinu Gershom took what was already an Esedra Bonan and maybe even Esedra Raisa, but gave it the koach of a cherem. And then the cherem that perhaps we've also been aware of in the past is not to read the letters of others. That's an interesting cherem in of itself. Not to read the letters of others. What is the basis for that? Why should that be usser altogether? What was the reason for such a cherem? So Rabbi Shapansky in his Sefer cites from the Encyclopedia Talmudis, Chelek Yud Zion, it seems, the following different suggestions as to what the basis for this isser is. One suggestion cited here is the following, that taking that which belongs to someone else without permission, in this case a letter, and using it renders one a shoel shalomidas. The din is shoel shalomidas is kegazlan. So if someone owns something, you have no right to use it without their permission. That's one suggestion for the basis for this isser. If that's the case, they cite here, it's also then afilu dvar mitzvah. There's no heter, even for a dvar mitzvah, to be shoel shalomidas. Someone else owns something, use it without his permission, then that might be potentially a shoel shalomidas who is a gazlan, unless you have reason to believe that he doesn't mind, but otherwise not. That's one pshat for the basis for this chayim. A second interpretation or explanation for the reason is that perhaps by reading someone else's confidential communications, you might bring about some form of detriment to the individual. By being megala sodos, someone's conveying confidential information to somebody else, a business interaction, negotiation, and he's conveying through a written communication his negotiation tactics or his offers to purchase someone else's merchandise, and you go then and intercept the communication and read it, and you're going to intercept and see what he didn't want anyone else to find out because it's going to undermine his strategy or his strategic positioning in negotiations, so you might cause him hezek. That's a potential reason for the isser. Again, that's maybe more limited in terms of scope and application, if that's the reason for the isser. And A third interpretation or explanation offered here in the Sakha B'Talmudus again is that perhaps it might in some way be a violation of either the Haftal Recha Kamocha, doing that to others which you don't want them to do unto you. Maybe that's the concern here. Or, and this perhaps a little hard to understand, in some way a violation of Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha. Maybe that's the concern. These are some of the explanations given in the Sakha B'Talmudus as to what the basis for this is. So there is a tshuva in the Halachos Ketanos, and Shapansky notes that this issue is discussed more frequently in the Sephardish tshuvas than in the Ashkenazi tshuvas. But here is a question posed in Shas and Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Tes. He says, someone finds a letter on the street, which is opened, and on it says an acronym, Upagin Diragma. Pagin Diragma. What does Pagin Diragma mean? It means a parit together, Yishchenu Nachash, Rabbi Nagershim or Agola. Almost like a caution or a warning about the chem of Rabbi Nagershim not to read someone else's letter. But the letter's opened. You find it on the street. Are you allowed to read it or not? You have to return it or could you read it? So the answer says, Malchus Ketanos is the following. He says, even if the person who received it clearly doesn't care about it, opened it, dropped it, carelessly neglected to care for it, so perhaps he doesn't mind, but maybe the person who sent him the letter doesn't want you to read it. And therefore he suggests that perhaps you should not read it even under those circumstances. And perhaps you, if it's sealed, all the more so, he writes, under those circumstances you should even return it because maybe he dropped it without realizing it. And then Melachos Ketanos also, in different shuvah, Chelek Aleph, Simei Shayin Vav, says that the truth is he doesn't think you have to write on it Upagin on the top of the letter, because once again, as mentioned earlier, there presumably is reason to say it's usher to read it regardless, so whether you write it or not on it is irrelevant. It should be usher regardless, says the Halachas Ketanos, whether you find that warning on the letter or not, one should not read it, again, for the reasons mentioned earlier, either because of Shalosh Lomidas, or because of Haftal Recha Kamocha, or because of Megalas Sodos causing him hezek, or in some way a Voselach Rachel Ba'amecha of being Mechapes and Mevakesh Mestorav Shachavero, trying to uncover that which is hidden by somebody else.